Okay. Am I on, Jace?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. We're continuing our study on the miracles of Jesus from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And tonight we're going to look at, Lord willing, the woman with the issue of blood. You could say the woman with the flow of blood, a disease where she's bleeding. And the bleeding is, she's having trouble controlling it, stopping it. It's also found in Matthew 9, 20 to 22, and Luke 8, 43 to 48. But we'll be focusing on Mark 5, 25 to 34. Hear now the word of God. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives by the Holy Spirit. Now we remember from Acts 2:22, Peter's Pentecostal sermon, that there's three words for miracle in the Greek, even though in our English it says that Jesus performed miracles, wonders, and signs. It actually should be power. He showed power, wonders, and signs. Because the first word is where we get dynamite from the Greek, with power. So we see three things then in a miracle. We should see the power of Christ in every miracle that he performed. We should see his power at work as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe. We should be in wonder, in amazement at what he's done, counter nature, going against natural laws and what's normal. And also it's a sign that points to who he is. Points to who he is as the Messiah, the Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So we're going to look tonight at the trouble, the touch, and the teacher. It's kind of an outline for tonight. A few interesting things, though. I'll say this up front before we get into the trouble that she's in. Is this miracle took place at the same time as the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. Now, we've looked at the raising, when Jesus raised from the dead the widow son of Nain. We've already looked at that from Luke 7, Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. And then the other one in the New Testament there in the Gospel accounts is Lazarus from John chapter 11. And the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead is the third one, the third person that Jesus raised from the dead in his miracles that are recorded in Scripture. There could have been others, but these are the ones recorded. And three of the gospel accounts then, we've got it in Mark, Matthew, and Luke, place the two miracles together. Place them together, all three. And we're going to look, Lord willing, next week at the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead, that miracle. Okay? But tonight we're going to look, even though they're taking place at the same time in the same place here, Jairus approached him first, but he's going to be told to wait. Okay? He's dealing with his other thing first, basically. But a couple things here. This is fascinating to me. The similarity, and you could say a couple similarities. Now, ponder this. The woman had been suffering from her illness for 12 years, which was the age of Jairus' daughter. It's kind of an interesting coincidence. And both of them were close to death when they, in this story, when it takes place. Jairus' daughter does die. Difference here, Jairus gave an eloquent request to Jesus. He's a ruler of the local synagogue. He approaches Jesus. He doesn't come secretly. He goes right up to him and makes an eloquent request for his daughter, who's deathly sick, for Jesus to come help. Mark 5:23. But we'll look more at that, Lord willing, next week. But the woman remains nameless. I'll think about that a minute. Don't know her name. It's not recorded. And she came secretly. She came secretly up behind. No eloquent request, no pomp and circumstance, no speech. Just secretly came up to touch his clothes. Only I could touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Okay. Everybody get this down? Wanted to write this down? Still writing, Sakwi? Okay. Okay. Now, let's think of the trouble here first. Think of the trouble, especially focusing on 25 to 27. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And so when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now the illness, we don't particularly know the exact illness that she had, but it was a continual flow of blood, basically. A flow of blood that either intermittent or continual. But she had a flow of blood for 12 years. And was getting worse, no matter the physicians that she paid for. Now we know from you think of Genesis 9:4 that life is in the blood. You could think of her trouble, her weakness. You think of her life. Her life is being drained from her. On a regular basis. I don't know if you've ever given blood or donated blood. Some people will pass out when they go to the Red Cross to give blood. Can get lightheaded. Part of her trouble, too, is when you think from Leviticus 15, 25 to 27, is she would be shunned and barred from the temple for being unclean, So she was ceremonially unclean. Because of the bleeding, barred from the temple. At the end of verse 29, after touching Jesus, she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction, almost like a plague, of the disease, of the affliction, of the plague that was tormenting her. If you look at verse 26, it suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had. She probably was a woman of financial means at the beginning of her illness. And to no avail, had basically spent her money on doctors, and she grew worse. When we think of the Levitical requirements here of cleanness and uncleanness, it kind of reminds us a bit of the leper. We had looked at Mark 1, 40 to 45. One with leprosy, the leper. They also were unclean. If you remember, Jesus touched him, healed him, cleansed him of his uncleanness. So really, after spending all her money on various physicians, news of a greater physician had reached her ears. Look at verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, and certainly perhaps she had heard about the unclean leper that Jesus had cleansed. She's in a very similar position of being barred from the temple, ceremonially unclean, and saying, you know, Jesus touched him and Jesus cleansed him. She's not supposed to be touching anybody, being unclean. She'll make someone else unclean according to the Levitical law. But the Levitical requirements, just to say a word on that too, they taught the seriousness of sin and how sin defiles us and makes us unclean. Now we know that sin is what exposes us, makes us liable to all the miseries in this life. It reminds us, no matter what, any illness we have, any disease we have, anything, any problem, reminds us of sin, because it's the curse of sin we're experiencing. That the fundamental root problem that we have is sin. We've rebelled against God. We've disobeyed God. And the Levitical requirements taught the seriousness of sin and how it defiles us, makes us unclean. You think of Isaiah 59:2. Isaiah 59:2, that our iniquities separate us from God, make us unclean. But we can say this. Is when she heard about Jesus, the great physician, she came behind him. So she's coming toward him, right? She's being drawn to Jesus. Jesus himself said, "No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Here she is coming to Jesus. So we know, based on what Jesus has said, that no person can come to Jesus unless God the Father draws the person. Here she is coming, so we know that God the Father must be drawing her to Jesus. Which happened to all of us who name the name of Christ and have put faith in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Okay. When you think of the touch, read 20 verses 27 to 29. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now in the Greek, where it says, "For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." For she said, in verse 28. In the Greek, it's "she kept." Saying to herself. She said it, and she kept on saying it in the Greek, in the tense of the verb. So she didn't just say it once. This is something she's saying, "If only I could touch his garment. If only I could touch his clothes. If only I could touch his clothes, I will get healed. If only I could touch his clothes, I can get healed." She's passionate about it. You and I, if only I could be united with Christ, I'll be forgiven of my sin. If only I will be united with Christ through faith, I'll be forgiven of my sin. If only I can be united with Christ, I will stand justified before God. If only I can be united with Christ, I'll get to heaven. Are we passionate about coming to Christ? Think, for 12 years she had not been allowed to touch anyone or anyone's clothing without making that person unclean under the ceremonial requirements. But here she is saying, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Saying it over and over and over again. Now, verse 27 involves the actual touching. When she heard about Jesus, the great physician, she came behind him in the crowd. So she came secretly behind him in this massive crowd and touched his garment. There's also something interesting here with touched in the Greek. A determined hold, not just a passing brush. When you get up and grab it, not just a little, but a determined grasping, holding. If only I may, she'd been saying, if only I could touch his clothing, I'll be healed. If only I could be touched. She's been dealing with this for 12 years and only gotten worse. Spent all her money on various doctors, various physicians. Her money's gone. And she's worse. But she heard about Jesus. More than likely, his miracle and cleansing the leper. If only I may touch and grasp hold of. And she did, by faith. In verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. The woman's disease disappeared in an instant. Couple interesting verses. Zechariah 13:1 speaks about being cleansed from sin and uncleanness. Being cleansed from sin and uncleanness. In that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Think of Ezekiel 16:6. When I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. And God's love for Jerusalem, but this could apply to this woman also. Live she did indeed. Another verse worth glancing at, Isaiah. Isaiah 64:7. Look at Isaiah 64:7, and there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. Israel and its sin and iniquities. One commentator said, many people crowd around Jesus, but never call on him and take hold of him by faith. They crowd around him. There was a massive crowd around Jesus. But she took hold of him by faith. Now, she did not speak. She did not ask anything of Jesus verbally, orally. But she believed that simply touching, taking hold of his clothes was enough to heal her. That's what she had faith in. Now, when we think of the teacher, particularly in verses 30 to 34, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." We could say this. She came secretly, but would not leave. Secretly. Christ was not satisfied with impersonally healing her in a non-personal level, but he wanted an interaction with her. He wanted to communicate with her. He wanted to teach her. Now, it's interesting, just real as an aside here, in Luke's account, Luke says that all denied it. In Luke 8:45. In other words, when Jesus says, "Who touched me?" Everybody around is saying, "Oh, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me." And she's over there knowing she did it. She's being quiet, you know, at first. Christ knew. He is God incarnate. He knew who had touched him. You think of Zacchaeus up in the tree in Luke 19:5. Little short Zacchaeus. And Jesus knew who he was. Zacchaeus. Jesus knew, even though he asked. Christ wants her to come forward. Now, this is interesting to me. What if Christ would have let her go secretly? Without wanting to teach her and have a personal connection with her. It's possible that she could have wondered if she had done wrong. It's possible. Did I do wrong? I snuck up behind him. I grabbed hold of, you know, maybe I did wrong. I'm healed, but I did it. You know, I just snuck up. Christ, we could say Christ would not let her leave and wonder if she had done wrong. We can say that. But Christ did three things we can say this Christ as the teacher did three things that parallel what he does to every believer. Number one is he saw her. In Mark 5:32, he saw her. Think of this is interesting to me too. Is Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon 2:14. You have a groom and his bride, right? But it's picturing for Christ in the church. And in Song of Solomon 2:14, it says, "O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." Christ wants to see our face and hear our voice. Anyone who comes secretly will be called into the open. Anyone who comes secretly to Christ will be called into the open. He's going to call us out in public. Number two, Christ brought her to confess him. Mark 5:33. You think of a cross reference with Romans 10:10. That with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You look at verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him. Fell down before the Lord of Lords and told him the whole truth. Confessed. Three, he instructed her. Mark 5:34. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now it's, with all of us, Christ will not allow us to be secret. He'll bring us out into the open if God the Father has drawn us to Christ, to put faith in him. We will confess him. We will bow down before him and worship him as the Lord of Lords. We'll be truthful with Christ. And we'll be taught by Christ. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, this also says something about who Christ is, as the great high priest. In the Old Testament, this woman would have needed to have been declared clean by the priest. You think of Leviticus 15, 29 to 30. The priest had to declare a person clean and analyze your state. Part of the role of the priest was the, like a medical doctor, diagnosing things. Are you healed or not, you know, of your disease that brings uncleanness? Christ both healed her and declared her clean. Turn over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If only we can take hold of Christ and come boldly to Him. If only we may take hold of Christ, He will give us mercy, and we will find grace to help in time of need, and with our most fundamental need, forgiveness of sin, that makes us unclean before God and defiles us. God will forgive us of our sins in Christ if we take hold of Him by faith, and faith alone, receive Christ.